their older stuff.
All right, so we're starting off with questions. All right. Go for it.
Scoot in.
Yeah, scoot in.
Four of us.
Yeah.
When you do the quick balancing with just the alarm points and the tapping,
yeah.
And a bilateral alarm point is out on one side, you still tap them both?
Tap them both.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just sort of did that by default anyway.
Yeah.
And when you're doing the circuit locating, like with the four muscles and for the pincher spread, I keep finding that like all of mine are pinches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that like sort of normal or expected, like especially if it's sort of like exercising sore muscle kind of thing?
Yeah, almost always where you have pain, the muscle's too tight.
Okay.
And it's possible, by the way, if you went to the opposing muscle, in other words, if you're doing quads, if you went to the hamstrings and circuit located on the hamstrings, you'd find some and it would need spreading.
Well, but that's what I'm saying, is like I sort of go all around and it keeps like only one.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, and by the way, either way doesn't matter, because if you have something that needs spreading and you're pinching it, pretty much the body gets the message, wake up, that's not it, you need to do this, and then it corrects itself.
It's
so
it's
sort of like wake up, yeah, right.
It solves either way and does the same.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
You know how cool that is? That's such a relief, because again, it's trusting the body's intelligence.
Exactly. You really can't do it wrong unless you work at it, and even then it won't last long.
A lot
so.
Of people are very experienced in doing things wrong.
Yes,
so.
And working really hard at it. I can kind of relate.
And then I had questions about the sabotage program stuff that we did last time.
Yes.
And those are things, you can still do that sabotage program thing multiple times with different goals at different times.
We used to say, by the way, on the sabotage programs that those are pretty core things, and once you did them, you really didn't have to do them again. Occasionally they'd show up, and usually if it shows up again, you have fewer of them. But really is true, because with different goals, it brings up different sabotage programs.
Yeah.
So you could end up doing that whole process again and again and again, and it's just because it means a little something different, or that context brought up another aspect of it, or whatever. Yeah.
Well, so I ended up doing it twice in this last week, because I sort of had a lot of things that felt like they needed clearing, and I actually ended up doing a whole lot each time. Like the first time out of 14. Reversal conflict thing.
Yeah.
I did like 7 before the priority list hired out, and on the second round out of 17, I did 9, I think.
Okay.
Before it all was gone, and I don't know if that means anything or not.
It actually does just prove the point. I used to pretend like, you know, all this stuff was do it and it's done forever kind of a thing, but it's not. It's not true. You know, it just makes it really, really clear that whatever comes up, you need to do it. And I suppose if you really... There was a time, by the way, when I actually did keep track of every single session and everything I did in every session, which is how I saw some of the relationships of things, you know, that came together and simplified things and stuff like that. If you did that, and if you really kept, like, way more minute details than you would care to, you'd probably recognize you come up with different ages that you go to with each of those things. But yeah, if that's, you just do it, whatever comes up.
And about the ages, if you get multiple ages on one statement, which way do you do that? Do you go younger? Do you go older?
No, if you always go, it'll come to the first age that you can do going back. So,
right,
so the,
okay.
And then your statement is, this is clear at age 5. And if it says, no, it's not...
Then you go backwards.
Then you keep going back because you would have gotten something.
Okay.
Now, occasionally, I mean really, really rarely, this is clear at age 6 months. Yes, it is. Okay, good. It's clear to a year, clear to 5, clear to 10, clear to 20. Oh, not clear to 20. Okay, clear to 15. You know, because there might be a little teeny piece. So you'll catch...
So I had one of those, too, where I had, like, 3 ages on one statement. Like, everything else was just a oneer. And then another one, there's like, I mean, they're all still in the really low ages.
Yeah.
But I had several of them.
And sometimes what happens is there's enough of a cluster, or it's enough of an incident that it has its own energy to it, and and or you really can't get down to the root until you get through that because there's it's just too charged. So, yeah.
I should have written down which ones those were. I didn't see that.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Yeah.
Okay.
I have a question that Rylan has.
Yeah.
So, come up with a statement and say, use me for instance, 44C.
Yeah.
So I go 44 to 40,
mm-hmm.
39 to 30.
I don't even do that. So I would do current to 40 because that way we don't split hairs about are you 44 and how many months and how many days. So current to 40, 40 to 30, 30 to 20, 20 to 10.
Okay, so say it comes up 10.
Good. Yeah.
You're like, okay. So then I stop and I do my clearing.
Yeah.
And then afterwards I test it again. Like
now you say this is clear at age 10.
Okay.
And if it's clear at age 10, then you progress back forward to make sure that there's nothing else in the way.
Okay.
So we're clear to 20, clear to 30, clear to 40, clear to present age. And
if it fails at 10, then I keep going back.
You keep going back. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
So the only reason it wouldn't clear at an older age is if there was something previous that needed to be cleared for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So you cleared at 10.
And
then you're saying you go back to the 20?
No, you clear
keep 10 and then you keep going.
Keep
earlier.
Yeah, regressing back. Yeah. So is this clear at 10? No, it's not. Okay.
So you
can say, well, there's an earlier age to clear. Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that, or just go. Okay. So 10 to 5, 5 to 1, 1 to 6. Ah, right in there.
Yeah.
12
yeah.
months, 11
yeah.
months, 10 months. Yeah.
Got it.
And then you don't. After that, you don't go back. You don't go back through until current again.
No, so you've gone back. You went from age 10
right.
to, say, 6 months, and then you do the statements all again
right.
at 6 months. This is clear at 6 months. Yes,
it
is. Okay, good. So we're clear to a year, clear to five,
so
clear
so
to 10.
You, that's like the finishing.
Yeah, you
going
always finish by going back
to
up.
The current
from, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when you're going backwards initially, you're looking at windows, and it's sort of like, is this, within this range, is there a clear, unobstructed flow through
yeah.
here, but you're just looking at a chunk at a time. So when you get here and find something to clear, you haven't even checked back there.
Yeah.
But then when you're going
right.
up after the statement, you're looking at everything up to.
Yeah.
So your range isn't just a chunk. It's
yeah, clear
number
210,
210,
clear 210,
220,
yeah.
so you're looking at the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah. So it's, you know, there are little techniques and stuff, but that's really the...
Yeah.
the primary. And we're going to do a couple other things as well that use age regression. And frankly, by the way, let me say another word about age regression because it's a valuable tool, and so let your intuition be the guide, okay? If somebody comes to you because they have some major trauma at some point in their life they've never been able to get over, never forgiven, and you have absolutely nothing else in your tool bag but the 14 muscle balance, you can still go, it's appropriate to do this balancing at an earlier age. Yes, it is. Okay. So current da 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 da. And you may not get to the age that they remember because there may be a lot of stored or re-stimulated trauma that needs to be cleared first, but you can actually do any process. So this is clear at this age? No, it's not. So you go back down farther and you do that process again. So you could go through, when we get to finger modes, you could do the finger modes at a certain age. Okay, we're clear at this age. Good. You know, no, we're not. Oh, earlier age. Go do it and then do the finger modes again and clear whatever comes up. So age regression has a really, really valuable piece to play in terms of fine-tuning on stuff that really is rooted in the past. And you could overdo it, of course, and everything is rooted in the past somewhere and all that kind of stuff. But I would just say that if things are stuck, just try. So we need to clear something at an earlier age.
Yeah.
Just as a statement. Yes, we do. Okay, great. So you do that, and then whatever tools you have, you clear it at that earlier age.
So you're saying that we do a balancing.
Yeah.
And what do you mean if things are stuck? The person keeps coming back with the same
issue? Yeah, if there's the same issue, I don't know how you're going to tell because really the issue sort of morphs and changes because even doing it all in present time doesn't hurt anything. But if somebody really is hung up on their past,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's intuition more than anything else. But you can just make the statement. So it's appropriate to balance to an earlier age. If it says yes, if it stays strong, then do that and then do your whole balancing at that earlier age. So I'm just saying that it's a tool that you can use. And at one point I actually played with this and I age recessed on everything. Doesn't matter, anything that's out, we, you know, just find an earlier age and you know, find the priority age and do it. So I'm just telling you it has more uses than just as a part of the processes that it's directly attached to in print. Yeah.
If you do that with something that has homework attached to it,
yeah.
Does that change the homework in any way?
No.
Okay, you
no.
still just do it regularly.
Yeah,
you
still just do regular homework. Yeah.
And then do the homework.
No,
okay.
No. Yeah, so if you did brain balance, for instance.
Or again, just the regular 14 muscle balance
yeah.
with the emotions.
You're limiting emotional patterns, any of that. They just do their homework. Because all we've done is use the age regression to access the time that has the most charge on it. But then it's basically diffused, and doing the homework will clear wherever it came from or wherever it goes to.
I really like having homework.
I love the homework.
So
yeah.
Like after the sabotage programs, I just did a balancing. So I haven't had something for homework.
Yeah.
You said like sabotage program isn't homework stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the others are, okay, like I want something to keep, you know, help working this in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, here's just another, these are just little off my head kinds of things, but let's say you end up doing sabotage, but it comes up again on your priority list, and again, and you recognize
it. I was myself any good
well, yeah, that's okay,
yeah.
But I'm saying, let's say it did come up several times, okay? And there was a particular one that just kept coming up again and again and again. Yeah, a particular
across
statement.
All the different.
Yeah. Then what you could do is you could do a whole balancing for that statement.
Because they're all like goals anyway.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So use that statement to a whole 14 muscle balance, a whole brain balance, a whole whatever it is, use that as a goal and balance to that. And you could even, again, access the age and do all that kind of stuff. So you be creative. I love this. And again, it's what I said earlier. You really can't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, unless you deliberately tried, I mean, unless you had really evil intentions, you know, it's really difficult to do anything wrong. So really just stay open to creative possibilities. Yeah. Hello, guys.
Four people.
Yay.
Come on in. Is she behind you?
She's coming. She's got a friend that she invited.
She's got a what?
She invited a friend that she's been trying to get to take
class. Oh, this will be good. All right. Here you go.
Oh.
And to let you know, I haven't forgotten you.
Thank you.
All right. I know, you weren't worried about it, but I was. It was time.
You're him on CDs now.
Yeah,
it did. My last one was still a cassette.
Yeah, I know. I finally figured out how to do it and have it work.
Okay, I digitized it anyway.
Yeah, okay, good. Good. Yeah, the life purpose reading. Yeah, so. So we were just kind of going over some questions and seeing what was left over and things like that.
I'm sorry I'm late on Monday.
You're just fine. Yeah, and it's actually on it's being recorded, so it'll show up, you know, on the online when I get to that. So, so any other leftovers or questions or whatever from the last times or any times or anything you've run into.
What does the tapping do again?
While you're doing this?
On the
K27s, what it does is it's one of the points, but I guess I ought to tell you, there are actually several sets of points, and if you go to EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, they actually, that's all the points they tap on the hands and on the points here and these guys here and these guys here and these guys here. You know, there are a lot of different points, but it actually comes from a guy named, I think it was Callahan, Roger Callahan, who did the work on habits, addictions, and phobias, mostly phobias I think he did, which we're going to do today anyway, okay? But there are several points that seem to work really well with these. And what they do is they stimulate an energetic release in some of the meridians or just in the energetic system. And one of the points is right here must make it a small intestine point, but it's right between the webbing, about an inch below the webbing between the ring finger and the little finger, and tapping on that point while you do it. But you got to tap on both of them, and then you don't have enough hands to do that and do eye rotation. The other one's the K27. So there are some master points in the body which just kind of access or like reset, circuit resets.
So is it like when you say the energy release, it sort of reminds me of the temporal tapping, as in like you're sort of shaking stuff up and getting it all like out there, and so that new pattern
it'll resettle.
In.
Yeah, yeah. And so what these, the K27s, as much as anything, it kind of resets the body's systems.
And then, and there's all this loose energy now to apply to the stuff that you're feeding into it.
Yeah. So it's sort of like the term out of, actually you never recognize it, I guess, but where I first heard it was a network chiropractic. It's disintegration so that you can reintegrate at a higher level.
Disintegration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like falling apart.
That's
why
you
fall back together.
Yeah, yeah, everything falls
apart,
but then what happens is you rebuild again, and you rebuild stronger and better, and you leave out the stuff that isn't any good, and you replace it with good stuff and all of that. So,
Global economic disintegration.
Yeah. So that's why the tapping on those K27s, it helps to have those points, those reset points, and there are several possibilities, but that's the easiest one to do, which is why we just focused on that one.
I like to know why.
Yeah.
For myself, and so if somebody's asking, why are we doing all this weird stuff?
Yeah.
Does
it work?
No, it helps.
Get a little feel about something.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. All right, any other questions to...
If my phone goes off, I do need to grab it.
I have no problem with that. Yeah.
So I'll get out and grab it.
If mine goes off, I need to ignore it. Do I have it on still? Yeah, okay.
I just want to say it's really interesting that this is what we're covering today, because Millie's been trying to get her friend to come for a while now, and he hasn't been able to, you know, like dinner. And all of a sudden, he's like, I have to go today. And I'll go the other way, but I have to go today. And he has a phobia about touching people other than
Interesting. So let me hit three. I have my list here. It's getting messier, but that's okay. Three things that are semi-related to the emotions. They're all different approaches to the emotions. And see if you can find someplace in there emotion tapping. And is it actually in there? Yeah, it is. It'll be fundamental. It's after the brain balance stuff.
Brain gym balance?
Not brain gym balance.
Motion tapping is on. It's pretty early.
It's pretty early on.
Oh, it's right after all the centering things.
Well, we did before.
Oh, okay. Good. Now if I can find mine.
A little feature.
Yep.
Yeah. So let me see if I can find mine in my book. Phil asked me yesterday, so is that the same as the one we have? Yeah, it is, only mine's kind of beat up. Okay, so emotion tapping. Notice that the points that we're working with are points that are meridian end points. So when you have this picture of the face there, it tells you, you know, those are the meridian end points that end on the face. Almost all of them either end on the face or on the hands, and there's just liver that has end points down here and something else, I think, but I forget at this moment in time, okay? Mm-hmm. So, the deal with emotion tapping. Let's say that you've got, there are a lot of different possibilities, but let's just say that we've identified an emotion that gives a person a problem. Or emotion tapping comes up, and you can say, okay, what's the problem, what's the emotion that you have the most trouble with, okay?
Emotion is tapping is the thing on the priority list.
If tapping's on the priority list, okay? Mm-hmm. So then what's going to happen is, okay, we're going to test it, and we have to circuit locate for these guys, right? Yeah, okay, good. I thought so. I want to make sure. So the deal is, that what you're doing is you're actually accessing the emotion. It talks about testing with the pectoralis major clavicular. By the way, we're going to use that a lot. It's called a double PMC, the stomach meridian, you know, the swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
And stand up for a second here. So if you're testing somebody, you have both hands out. Usually I have them connect the ring finger to thumb, okay, which puts the emotions in circuit, and the range of motion, let me just do it here, is down and out like that. I'm testing both sides at the same time. Stomach is more emotionally related.
Butterflies in your tummy and
yeah.
All those.
And by the way, you're not pulling out, and you're not pushing straight down, which is why I've got my hand at this funny angle here. It's down and out. It's 45 degrees down and out like that, okay? So hold these guys right here. You test them like that. So what happens, thank you. So what happens is that's a very sensitive emotional test, but also what happens is you're testing both the left hand and the right hand side of the brain. Okay, so you're actually testing both brain hemispheres. And we'll do some of that later on at some point where we actually test for stress statements and things like that, because sometimes you'll say something that's supposed to be true, and half of you will say it's good, and half of you will say it's not good, you know? So
yeah.
We've got to clear that one up.
We had that yesterday.
Yeah, we were playing with that yesterday, exactly.
That was you, that thing.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the double PMC, and so that's what you're going to test, because it'll pick up anything in the emotional realm and the emotion that we need to do.
Well, it says test for a strong PMC, it means a double PMC.
Well, yeah, I would.
Okay.
And that's what I'm saying. I would double PMC this guy,
okay?
Instead of just making sure you have a strong one, then have them touch into the emotion, then test it again. You're going to make sure you got it strong. I like a double PMC. If you can do that one, especially standing or sitting, it's really easy to do. Then, once you know that it's strong, if it's not strong, by the way, strengthen it. So you've got a good indicator muscle. We're just using PMC for the indicator, okay? And then you have them access the emotion. Oh, yeah, every time I think about my mother-in-law, I talk, you know, and so they've accessed the emotion. And then what's going to happen is you're going to test again, and it'll be stressed. One side or both sides, it doesn't really matter. But you've brought up enough of it, so it's brought up stress. Then you go and circuit locate those points on the face. So then all you have to do, you can use a regular deltoid muscle to do that one, okay? Just a regular old muscle, and then you just touch each of these points and find out which of these points is weak. Because when you bring up that emotion, it blows some circuit somewhere. Yeah.
When we circumlocate.
Circuit locate.
When we circuit locate.
Yeah.
Are we stating the emotion this time?
No.
You don't say a thing.
You don't have to say anything because they've already brought it up.
It probably isn't going away that fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's not going to just disappear on you, okay? So they've already brought up the energy of it, because what you're really doing when you're testing this double PMC, you actually have them feel, experience that emotion. That's very different than what we do going through the behavioral barometer, just noticing an emotion and going on with it. You're actually having them get into it, and if it really is an emotional issue, they're going to get stuck in it.
Right.
Which at this point in time is what you really want them to do, because then you check these points on the face, and you find out which one is weak. The deal then is that tells you what meridian is involved with this. And then what you're going to do is you're going to tap, 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 tap while they really go through and feel this emotion and relive it and do all that kind of stuff. They don't have to talk to you about it, by the way. It's better if they don't. You just have them experience, okay? We want to run through, and you want to keep tapping so that the body gets used to flowing that energy and putting it somewhere.
We're tapping the point.
Tapping the point that you found. On each side of the face.
Both sides, okay.
Yeah.
And when this says alarm points, it only means these particular ones on the face.
On the face.
Why is it that not the usual alarm
point? Excuse me. You know, I should read this before I tell you. Here, let's think of the emotion. Deltoid.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh. Yeah, so the way I had this written, hello there.
How are you?
I'm Robert.
Anthony, it's wonderful to meet you.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's a hard time finding you. I'm here.
All right, you're here. Good. So excuse me, guys. What I did, thank you, Graham, for reading this. In the old days, we used to actually test the alarm points and see which meridian.
The regular alarm points.
And what I do now is I just go to the points right on the face. So you can do it either way. If you go to the alarm points, then you have to find the tapping point. Okay, but if I go to the tapping points, it tells me where it is already.
Okay.
So step number five, instead of using the deltoid to test the alarm points to see where it's blocked, just use the deltoid and test the set points on the face, the meridian endpoints on the face.
So when it says stomach one, stomach spleen, both meridians end at the same point?
No, it just means that they're both in the same element, and if it was spleen meridian that went out on your regular alarm point,
it's the same tapping point.
It's the same tapping point.
So we don't really need that.
We don't need
because
that.
Because we're not going to break it down into all the meridians. We're going to go straight there.
Yeah, so you can ignore this where it lists the points there.
And
Niue, we're a little ways in. I don't know how far in.
Okay.
Motion tapping.
Motion tapping.
Yeah.
It's right after the centering balance stuff that we did.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what Graham's asking, where it says stomach one, large intestine 20, bladder one, those are all the ones that end on the face. Okay?
Yeah.
And it tells you if you did the regular alarm points and you came up with spleen, you have to say, oh, spleen is in on the earth element, I have to use the stomach meridian to do that. And so by eliminating, by just changing step number five, use the deltoid to test the points on the face. And that tells you which point you need to work with. So I don't care even what meridian it is. You just find the one of those points in the face, and those are the points you're going to tap. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because that way, and I realized, you know, since the time this was originally written up, I've kind of gone by habit and done things a little differently. Yeah.
So if we were using the points on the face with some awareness of what meridian we were using, could we then go to our... the other list and come up with emotional.
Yeah, but you've already got an emotion right now because it's the motion tapping. We don't need to go outside and get another emotion.
We don't need to go find a quote positive emotion to bring in. No. Don't have to do it at all.
No.
Okay.
No.
Thank you.
Because on step number seven, they're actually going to create their own. Okay? So you're tapping on this point on step number six. You're tapping on the point while they feel, experience, go through. Run through several times the incident, the emotion, whatever it is that got them stuck, okay? On seven, then you're doing stress release, so ring finger to thumb, these two fingers on the forehead points here to erase the stress, and you're having the person then visualize how they would rather feel, okay? How they want to feel, how they want to act, you know, how they want to use that energy. So what we've done is we've had them in step number six bring up all that energy while we're tapping away on these points. So we've got that energy moving. It's no longer stuck. It's free flowing. So now we've got to do the stress release and have them say, here's how I want to use that energy. You know, in those circumstances, I'd really rather just take a deep breath and move on. I'd really rather forgive. I'd really rather remind myself. I'd really rather act like this instead of like, you know, it's like, but to really begin to visualize how they want to use that energy. Okay?
No eye rotation from this? It seems so... simple.
Wow, I know.
No.
Just
and you can really just do it with two hands.
Yeah, you just do it with two hands. You don't need anything else. Yeah. And then you go.
Yes, you already tapped. So this is separate from the tapping.
Yeah. So we tap to move the energy. I keep tapping the stomach ones, but you know it's whichever ones they are. Okay, you found. You're tapping on both sides while they're thinking of it to move the energy.
That stomach one. It's actually on like the bones. Here.
It's on the cheekbone.
Okay, it looks sort of like it's on the actual eyelid.
No, it's on the cheekbone,
okay.
Right on that. You can't miss it. Yeah.
And they're both. There's obviously
on both sides. Yeah.
Two fingers to balance positive negative.
Yeah. When I do the tapping, like when I do the circuit locating, I like to either use thumb or two fingers together, so it's not positive or negative. Okay? Yeah.
Oh no, because on here it's just one dot. He was asking if
it's on both sides.
Yeah.
It's on both sides. It just didn't mess up the picture. That's all. It's all bilateral with the exception of governing and central. Those are individual.
The bladder one sort of on the side of the nose, going in like that.
No, you know the truth is the bladder one's right on the inside of the eyebrow, right?
That you hold with
these
the
it's actually the neurovascular point and the tapping points there. Yeah.
Where the eyebrow meets the bridge of the nose.
Yep. You can tap it this way. You could tap it this way. I mean, wherever, but it's right there at that intersection. Yeah. With
we're trusting that if we're somehow close to it, it's all right.
Yeah. Anything close, it will work. Yeah. That's the nice thing. You don't have to be totally accurate with this. So. Okay. So, and then you come back and have them think of the emotion again. Chest.
I need a lot of tapping.
And by the way, what we're doing, stand up for a second here. I'll show you. What we're doing with the muscle test on this is, remember the stomach meridian? That's this guy here?
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually testing double stomach meridian, ring finger to thumb, the hands turned out, and the range of motion is down and out like that.
Okay.
So you hold that guy right here, like that. Okay? So then you have him bring up the emotion, test again, should be weak, great. Now you come and you test the points on the face, wherever those points show up, until you find the point, whoop, right there, good, the tap. And then you tap, 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 while they're feeling the emotion and stuff to keep that energy moving. And then you come back and do these guys, and I'm saying, so all I want you to do is now picture how you want to respond, how you want to act. And you can have them do it out loud, by the way, because some people get lost in their head. And yeah, right. And that way you can actually be helpful.
Yeah.
You know, like setting a goal. You know, like, great, so when you're not feeling that way, how do you want, you know, how will you feel and all of that. And then we come back again and say, okay, now, ring finger to thumb, hold right here, we're strong, good. Now I want you to kind of, you know, bring up that emotion. And you do it kind of lightly. Don't say, now get yourself buried in it, but I want you just to recall it, bring it up, and you'll test again, and now it's strong, good, we're good. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So,
how long does this hold for? Like, I keep thinking this will work for now, but then, like, you know, if I have another experience of that, or, like, does it last?
Well, you know, it always lasts until it doesn't.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And you know, every goal, you know, has a different thing. If you're an emotional person, then emotion tapping might come up a lot for every different goal. It might come up all the time, okay? And even if it looks like, when it comes up again, a similar emotion, it still is a little different flavor of it.
Yeah.
So it works until we, you know, until we get overloaded.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So, and by the way, it is something that the person could do. There's no homework assigned. But sometimes people want to know, well, okay, great. So what if this rage overtakes me again? All right. Remember this point right here? All right, so when you start feeling that, you just start tapping. I mean, right away, you just tap, 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 okay? And then when you can breathe again, I want you to do this and remember what you just told me about how you want to feel and how you want to respond, okay? So they actually have a tool. They remember where that point is. They remember to do this, and so they can work it themselves.
So you can assume it'll be the same point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And by the way, if it doesn't work, anytime if you give somebody homework for points, especially like that, and they find out it's not effective, you say, well, great, then we'll just check it again when you come in next time. But until then, you know, at least do it. As long as it helps a little bit, we're still working okay. And ultimately, by the way, it is a mind change and a lifestyle change. You know, we have to change our normal reactions to things in order to, you know, really become immune to this.
Yeah.
So it's a combination, approaching it from a couple different angles. So,
similar to the various body balances and stuff we did last week,
mm-hmm.
Like this could come up as we go through our...
The finger mode, it would show up because
like
emotion tapping is on...
As we go through our priority list.
Oh, priority, yeah.
Our priority list.
Yeah.
I always do that.
Yeah.
But we could just do this standalone.
Sure. Any
I mean,
of these things.
We could just say, hey, do you want to like work on some emotion that comes up from the body? And come up with a goal.
Or if somebody in front of you is going through this emotional thing, I always get this way when this happens, I don't know what to do. Oh, great. Well, you've got a minute. Let's see if we can do something.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, any of this stuff can be standalone. I mean, you know, yeah. We're going to put it into a system where you don't have to think, where you actually can do the finger modes. It'll tell you what you're going to do, or you can go down your list in priority modes. It'll tell
so
you what
if,
to do.
If this is standalone.
Mm-hmm.
A goal then doesn't really show up until like that step 7.
Yeah, and that's not even a goal. All that is giving the energy a direction to go. So yeah. So in this case, you got to clear the energy, because if you're doing this one, you're actually deliberately bringing up a whole shitload of energy, okay, on purpose. And so you just bring it up, and then they'll end up directing it somewhere.
So this can be done without
a goal, setting a goal and emotion ahead of time. Yeah.
So it would share the overall goal if it was just part of the priority.
Yeah,
balance.
Yeah, but he's saying if you're just sitting with somebody and they have an emotional breakdown and you want to tap on some points, yeah.
So
I shouldn't use that word. That's a technical medical word. You send them to somebody. Yeah, go ahead.
The PMC test,
yeah.
isn't actually finding anything. It's just there
showing the stress.
So the person can see there was stress, now there's not.
Yes.
So, because I'm thinking like that's something that would be hard to do on, well, so if you're doing this on yourself, would you just use your generic muscle not like do a stomach pointer
now,
or whatever?
The only reason we're using stomach meridian and connecting the ring finger and thumb is because it makes it more sensitive. Most people, by the way, you could test their big toe if they're really in the middle of an emotion, it would tell you, okay?
Well, and they're picking one that they know is an issue anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So so the PMC is a pectoralis major clavicular stomach meridian. It's just to give us something that is specifically sensitive to emotions, and that's the only reason for using that one, okay?
So step two looks like there could be the potential for bypassing step three and going right to step four. Like it seems like if you've already asked them, you know, what emotions you're going to work on, whatever, it seems like maybe you should get your indicator muscle like checked out and okay before you even
sure,
go there.
Sure, if you want to do that, and when you're asking what emotion, sometimes they'll fall right into it and you're not going to get a strong PMC. So yeah, you could actually put step number switch two and three, if you want to do that. So before you have them even tell you what the emotion is, you know, you can make sure you have a strong indicator muscle. And by the way, I'm just charging right along, and I hope that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you for allowing me.
You bet. And so holler, and we'll do some hands-on stuff in a bit, and you'll have a little different experience, but. Right now, I'm just kind of covering some emotional-related things. So, three different ways to approach emotions in here that are used a lot. And again, I'm only focusing on the stuff that I use tons versus all the stuff that's in the huge manual. Okay.
So, if we test PMC, regardless of what emotional things going on, and it's weak, as a strong. Like, we're doing this because they're emotional, but we haven't actually identified the emotion. It goes weak.
Yeah.
We then do the neurolymphatics.
Neurolymphatics or neurovasculars if you need to, whatever you need to do to get
like,
it strong.
Then let's proceed.
Yep,
okay.
Exactly. So you want to make sure, and the only reason there is even if you know they're in the middle of it, there's something nice about them seeing, I was strong, I thought about this, I got weak, and then we cleared it up, and now I test strong when I think about it. There's a nice reinforcement there.
Yeah.
So yeah, PMC, if it's not strong to start with, make it strong, and then go on.
Cool,
yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, these points, by the way, they're called two different things on your piece of paper. It's called meridian beginning and end points, which they are. It's also called the hypothalamic set points. Okay? And that's because later on we're going to do the hypothalamic resets. Because the hypothalamus is the gland in the brain, actually, that regulates everything. It's sort of like the circuit breaker box in your house, okay? And so the hypothalamus actually makes sure that your body temperature stays within a certain range, and makes sure that your blood pressure stays within a certain range, and makes sure that your weight and your breathing and your, you know, everything stays, and there's thousands and thousands of things that get regulated by the hypothalamus. Well, just like a thermostat, if I'm carrying the groceries in and bump the thermostat and the needle goes all the way up to 90, you know, and I'm putting the groceries away and I start sweating, I think, oh my God, something's wrong, you know. Well, there's nothing wrong with the thermostat in my house, it's just it got bumped. Right. So sometimes we need to go reset the hypothalamus. And these points, the meridian points on the face, are the access points into that hypothalamus. Okay? And one of the things that we do a lot, and I forget when I'm going to spring that one on you, but there are several resets for diet, weight, appetite, satiety, you know, those kinds of things that are all regulated in the hypothalamus. That are part of diet and weight reset that we use. And also, obviously, the hypothalamus regulates the emotional responses as well, which is why we're using these set points on the face specifically and not the actual alarm points themselves, okay? So at any rate, that's why it's called two different things, because I just cut and pasted that picture in there, and it happens to say have the balance set points on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talking about the cut and paste.
Yeah.
We have a half-printed thymus written on the bottom of this.
Oh, yeah.
Is thymus something we want to check?
If the face, if the points on the face don't check out, you could check the thymus gland.
Okay.
But the truth is, the points on the face are going to check out.
The thymus is middle of sternum.
Middle of sternum. Yeah. And so yeah, don't worry about thymus on there. I mean, again, it's a little note I made to myself. I just wrote it in. It's not actually half copied. I just wrote it in on a copy someplace. But by checking the points on the face, you really will get what you want to have. And you really want a hypothalamic point rather than just a regular meridian point for the emotions. So that's the combination of those guys. Okay.
On the very next page, there's another diagram that shows all the points on both sides of the face.
Oh, the hypothalamic fight flight emotions. Well, why don't we just do that on the next page since
that
we're there? These are real basic. It's fear and anger. Okay? And it may be, and again, if this comes up, then you actually could do what they say. You think of a fear-producing incident in their life, think of an anger-producing incident in their life, see which one has, you know, has stress on it, and if they both do, you can put your priority mode and then find out which one is the priority to clear, okay? But the bottom line is that the person knows right away, anger is my issue. I mean, pretty much we all know the thing that gets us most. Am I more afraid or I get more pissed off, okay? And you can muscle test to find out which. This, okay. So you find the priority one, and then you look at the list below. This does not, by any stretch of the imagination, at all cover the range of categories of fear or categories of rage or anger, okay? Usually something on the list will trigger for you, okay? And that's good, and if it doesn't, you have the person tell you what it is, and they'll tell you right off, and it'll test weak, okay? This, by the way, is real similar. It's just the difference is it's just giving you some specific. You talked before, Phil, about finding an emotion on the emotion tapping point.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what this does. Because it automatically, this is like a more specialized version of the emotion tapping that we just did, which relates specifically to either fear or anger. Okay? And other than that, by the way, it's the same thing. You find the set point that changes the indicator muscle, which makes it strong, or the test weak, which one is stressed, okay? Oh, I shouldn't skip.
Skip to the loo.
Number two, one or both will cause indicator muscle change if both find the priority. So now you know it's fear or anger, okay? Find the hypothalamic, then number three.
Okay.
Locate the exact shade of fear or anger. So, anybody have a fear or anger issue? You want to play?
Yeah.
Come on.
Everybody?
I said something wrong.
Come on, buddy. Come on. All right. So what is it? Fear or anger? Make my life easy.
Well, anger.
All right. Good.
Yeah, it's deserted.
All right. So, do my work for me, will you?
That's right. I'm sorry. Sorry. Never mind.
Hold it. That's okay. Hold that one. Hold that one.
I thought it was driving.
Turns off. So what'd you say? You said anger.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
Anger.
Okay. So I'm going to check this. So we have fear, we have anger. So I have priority mode in. I did fear.
Mm-hmm.
I did anger. That's where the stress is. So we know that it's anger. I can go through the list right now. So we look at anger. They call it rage here. So we have bitterness, envy, resentment, intolerance, criticism, vengeful, malice, complaining, demanding, hatred, jealousy, gossipy, sarcasm, unforgiving, deserted. Well, you wanted that anyway, so it's okay.
Weren't your priority mode, I noticed.
No. You don't have to. When you're doing emotions, the priority mode is actually implied.
Okay.
So when you're doing an emotional chart or whatever, I don't have to do priority on this, okay? So now what I have is I have the emotion. And by the way, I kibitz with you guys like I would not kibitz with a client, okay? You know, and I can joke when she gets pissed off when she gets deserted and stuff like that, but that's not appropriate to do with a client, okay? So now, remember what I talked before about putting things in circuit? Like holding the energy of something? Well, I'm going to talk about it again, okay? So what happens is, I found it, so I said deserted, it's got stress. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to do it again, I'm going to put it in circuit. So deserted, as I test it, I move my feet slightly apart, which means I'm now holding in my body the energy that got brought up with that specific emotion, deserted. Okay? You guys, you remember that all? You weren't there that week.
Yeah.
You weren't there the first week, okay? Yeah. So by kind of going mid-stride, what happens is your body's programmed to remember everything because it doesn't know whether I'm going to here, there, anywhere. So any energy in my system, as long as I hold this kind of in-between position, gets held in me.
Okay.
So now I can compare, I can see what relates directly to that energy. The other way the circuit retain things is to zip up the forehead. Okay? I don't usually do that with a client because what that looks like, it looks like this. It looks like deserted. Okay, good. I got it. What are you doing? Okay.
It is like I don't even know.
And so deserted. I mean, I have a weak indicator just because it's there. I don't even have to say it anymore. It's there. I'm holding it. As soon as I zip it down, I erase it. I have a strong indicator again. But if I'm testing her and I just say deserted, you know, I'm just, you know, it's less obvious.
You could add a note tip over or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Phil.
I'm just confused.
That's okay.
So you test her, she went weak or deserted.
As she's going weak, I'm literally capturing that energy. I'm capturing her energetic response to that word.
Okay?
And I'm either holding it in my hips or I'm holding it right here.
Why are you doing that?
Let's get to the point. Okay? So now what happens is I have a weak indicator muscle, and this is what makes sense to the client. See, I could do this another way, but I have to find out what hypothalamic set point makes this stronger. Okay? No, I got it right there.
Okay.
All right? So now I found one that makes it stronger.
Stomach.
Okay?
Would you test on both sides?
No.
You only have to test one side.
I would end up testing both sides until I find the one that
Okay, because it could be on one side and off on the other.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I would test both sides. I don't have to do them both at once. So get what I did. I put it in circuit. So I have a very specific reference point now. And it's like, you know, I can't find the point on the face at the same time she's thinking of that as clearly. So I'm holding that energy right there.
So you're still standing.
I'm still holding it.
She's still,
yeah. Because in general, right now, we still have a weak indicator muscle because I'm still holding whatever energy she has about deserted.
Okay.
And so now, in terms of helping her get the picture, she already knows when I say deserted, she goes weak. So now, things are weak, and we keep going until we find what makes it strong. And everybody likes to know what makes them strong. Mm-hmm. So that's another reason for doing that. Okay. And then you tap on the set point, and right now I could probably let the circuit go, but I'm still holding it. No big deal. So what you're going to do is you're going to focus on all of that energy. You're going to bring up, and by the way, here's another way to do it so they don't get lost. Just think of a time when you felt really deserted. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, good. So think of another time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and another one. Time you get deserted and it really made you mad.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and think of another time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now what I want you to do is I want you just to scan through all the times that you can come through, just real quick. Scan, all the times when you felt deserted and got really, really mad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I tap for it. So I'm just kind of, instead of just saying get buried in it, which you could do, by the way, this is a way to assist the person to not get stuck in one incident, but to generalize it more, and also to help them get connected with it, okay?
You could just walk out the door and she could get connected with it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
My question is, and I don't want to distract, but when you're
holding the benefit.
Yeah.
Are you reflecting the benefit yet? Are you pulling it from her so she doesn't?
No.
That affects you.
All I'm doing, as long as I'm touching her, she's still we're sharing that energy, so she's still having that experience.
So you're not pulling it from her, so she's not feeling it.
No. I just have my own. I have my own flavor of her experience that I'm holding, so that as soon as I touch again, she's got that again. So I'm still holding the original, touching in with it. I'm having her scan through all these things. So we're getting as complete a job as we can get here.
Right.
Okay.
Good house cleaning.
Yeah, right.
And you're holding it again. The reason why it's in circuit is because you need to retain that energy.
Yeah,
while
because
we're doing
I want to make sure that I find a point that responds directly to that energy.
Got it.
Yeah.
But we didn't do that on the other kind of.
No, we didn't. Thing. No.
Why?
We just didn't.
Because it seems like we're conceptually doing basically the same thing.
We are
doing it in different ways. So
yeah.
How significant are the different ways?
You get to choose. The reason I like this way. Frankly, the reason I like this way versus what we just did with emotion tapping is the fact that I can show them the emotion makes them weak, and I can show them then that this point makes them strong.
Oh, cool. Because the other way you actually found a weak one because you weren't holding it in circuit.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
So then I have to phrase it when I'm talking to it. Oh, so we're looking for what meridian gets blown out, what do we need to strengthen?
So if you were to rewrite all this, you might actually go ahead
be
and
consistent.
Have them both work exactly the same way, and it would probably be this way. Just
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Got
yeah,
it.
So you can rewrite it, you can do it either way, but I want you to understand both ways because these were actually developed by different people at different times or different applications or people who wrote this one up had a way they prefer to do it. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
mm-hmm.
But you've got a lot of flexibility here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then, so they, on the, they, she focused on the thought number six, they temporal tap when thinking about what releasing the anger and being non-judgmental and forgiving would think, would feel like to them. So the deal here, instead of the stress release, which you also could use, by the way,
mm-hmm.
okay, what we're doing is we're temporal tapping. And in this
mm-hmm.
case, what I want you to do is just temporal tap. I want all the fingers together, like put the ring finger and thumb and then just group all the rest of them around because you want the emotions and then all the rest, and you'll temporal tap back and forth. Remember this.
Oh, unlike the little finger one that we did last.
That
time.
Was electrical. Yeah,
okay.
That's for things that have to do with the nervous system.
Okay, the ring finger.
So a temporal tap and the ring finger connection. Temporal tapping, by the way, when you tap here, it interrupts your filters in your brain, which tends to let other information through that we would normally filter out because it's useless. Okay. So temporal tap back and forth, and I want you to just focus on. In fact, just tell me what it would be like. Not to have these feelings about being deserted. How your life will be different.
I would belong everywhere. Everywhere I go, I would be a part of.
Okay. So can you picture yourself like feeling really at home wherever you are,
mm-hmm.
in all those circumstances, just feeling really at peace at home, feeling part of that.
Mm-hmm.
You got a good picture of that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. Now, by the way, we're using this technique here again, you can stop now, because her normal picture is, I don't fit in, I don't belong, and normally, remember, the brain will filter out 99.9% of all potential input or information because it doesn't fit our current construct. So what we're doing now is devising a new construct and opening the door to let that one come in,
mm-hmm.
and so there's some conscious choice there, okay?
Temporal tapping specifically opens that up?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Temporal tapping shuts down the mind's filters.
Okay.
And
yeah.
so it lets in things that we would normally dismiss as irrelevant.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now we're going to see things that actually reinforce the new view.
That's exactly right.
Exactly
right. Yep.
Okay.
So now we've opened up that. And then we come back. And by the way, it doesn't ever tell you where to drop the circuit, but at this point I just dropped the circuit at number 7 there. So restate the category of negative thought to be sure that it's now clear. So I would just say again, deserted, tested, and it's clear. And then repeat step number 1 above, which is have the person think of a fear-producing incident in your life. Think of something that brings up fear for you. You got it?
No. Fear?
Yeah.
Not anger,
fear.
But fear. Wasn't it anger?
I know.
But we're going to fear.
Okay, fear. Step number 1 says think of fear or and anger.
Got it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. Got one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's okay. Think
mm-hmm.
of something that brings up anger. An anger-producing event in your life.
Okay, hold on. Gosh. Okay.
That's a good sign, by the way, if it's hard to do. Okay. So instead of
too much of that temporal task.
Yeah. That's what I'm gonna do the rest of my life.
So the deal is, instead of see the number eight where it says repeat step one above, you could make your life really easy, because if you've done a really good job, they're gonna go duh, you know, and I don't want to deliberately have them make up something or re-stimulate something. So what you can do in step eight is make a statement that you can do it. I tend to do it both ways, okay? So I don't care what you do. But you can say, there's more to do with this. No. Or we're complete with this process. Yes, okay? So however you want to do that, but you can just make a clarifying statement that says, we're done with this. Or there's something more we need to do. And if there's something more, then start over again and look for another fear, look for another anger, and do it again. Okay? So just change that number, step number eight, a little bit. So this is when it's specifically and clearly fear or anger. And what Graham pointed out, and I want to remind you guys, you can do the circuit retaining thing. I tend to like that it's a little more accurate also, you know, or you can just do it the way we did before, have them think of it and then find the set point that goes weak and you know, all of that. But I like the let's hold the weakness in circuit and then let's find specifically the point that makes it strong. Mm-hmm. So what I did on brain balance, by the way, remember that? We find the alarm point and now we hold the alarm point while we check out the affirmations to make it stronger. So it's just how you want to present it. Yeah, Grant.
At the beginning, were you still using the TMC?
No, I didn't go back and
do
that.
I used
the regular deltoid, and you could use PMC again. That's just a piece from the other one. You could use PMC as your indicator muscle like we did before on the other emotional one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or you can just do everything with your standard
deltoid. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And usually, by the way, if these are issues, it's not going to be a borderline issue. I mean, it's going to be real clear. It's flaming or it's not a deal, okay? So you'll get it with any muscle test. It's just a little bits of refinement if you want to play with those.
So in step one, you actually have them bring up an incident of fear or anger.
Yeah.
And then
one of each and see if one of them has stress.
And then in step three, you just read off the list and check the indicator.
Yeah.
Just like when you're getting emotions normally.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So
step one, you can't just say fear, anger, and see what's weak.
No.
Okay.
No. It's better to have them bring up something because, see, you notice that's why there's all these shades of fear and rage, okay? It's because people might not relate to the word fear and anger. I'm not afraid of anything. Now, I worry to beat the band, you know, or I know the world is coming in and tomorrow, you know. So it's like I try to just have them try and think of that and let them associate with it rather than using a word. And we are going to say think of a fear-producing, think of an anger-producing, but it makes it a little easier for them to kind of self-select, yeah, rather than just chunk and go by one word.
And these processes are really working on very similar.
They are very, very similar, and the only difference is that with the fight-flight emotions, they've refined it a little bit more to actually get some flavor of the emotions because anger and fear are two primary emotions, and sometimes people just think, you know, I'm really angry. Well, what flavor of anger is it? And sometimes that actually brings up some awareness. Like, oh, that's fear? Oh, my gosh. I didn't even think of that. Sure, I got that one in spades, okay? So it helps them really identify with it a little more clearly.
And maybe also to take the particular shade and then say, oh, that's anger or that's fear. Like, and it's like, oh, we all have that.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm just like this all the time or something.
Yeah. So it really helps it diffuses it somewhat to come down, and so it's not a big block of anger or fear. It's something that I can understand, that I can relate to, and also, by the way, it's something that once it gets clear, I actually will notice that I have less of that in my life. Yeah.
So the first one is good because you can do it for any old information.
It's a self-defined emotional response.
But so it's the most general one. But then if they do say like anger or fear, you can just automatically switch over to the other one just to make it more specific.
Yep.
Or you can go right there if the priority thing is said to.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. Okay, you get what he said? You can start with emotion tapping, which is really general. But if they say, you know, I'm just really angry all the time.
If that's the emotion they pick when you're just doing the emotion.
You bet. You could just shift right over and say, well, let's refine this a little bit. Let's look at some of let me see if there's a little refinement on that type of anger. Yeah. So thank you. It's being creative, always.
So once they identify that shade, then they can go through their memory bank, their experience bank. And then they can now identify, oh, yes, that's what that is. And
yeah.
Is that
yeah.
what you have her draw?
Yeah.
Draw
yeah, and that's why I'm tapping on whatever points they are while she does, because these are the points that will keep that energy flowing. And so, yeah, so she's going back and recharacterizing all of that, but she's also, more than anything else, moving that energy. And then we're doing a little different clearing at the end by having her really look at how she wants to respond, and it introduces the possibility to allow that new picture in. To have a target for that kind of energy to go to.
Does it make it harder to do the visualization when you're tapping?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just like, if you're doing the thing that's like, you know, shaking up your brain,
yeah.
like it's asking
yeah.
a lot more than if you're doing the thing that relaxes you.
Yeah, that's true. And by the way, if somebody's having a lot of trouble, you do the stress release points,
just
you have them give you your picture,
mm-hmm.
and once they've clearly defined the picture, you can have them do the temporal tapping, and now get that picture and let it in, okay? So you can actually add another phase in there if you're having trouble with it.
I was thinking more along the lines of cooling down with this afterwards.
Oh, after? Oh, sure. Yeah, you can do that too.
Like, yeah, this is hard, but I got it. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, use whatever tools you can use. It's really, really good. And that's what I like, by the way. That's what I want you guys to have is enough comfort and familiarity eventually with all of this so you can say, well, let me do this, you know? And so nothing really throws you. Something comes up and it doesn't work. You can just shift gears and refine it a little bit. So, and that just comes by doing it a whole lot. Okay. So there's one more emotional piece, and that's the neuro-emotionals, and they ought to be another page after this. One more, two more. That's
that
meridian walking.
This fit on our list? Hypothalamus? That's sort of both of them, I guess.
No, that is sort of those. Yeah, but I'm going to come back. Yeah. And I'm going to use those specifically for diet and weight later on the other. Neuroemotional.
Oh, very next page.
Yeah. So go by the meridian walking, which we did in Touch for Health. Let's go to the neuroemotional.
I need to number these pages.
Yeah, you probably want to do that, but I didn't. Neuroemotionals. There are specific points on each meridian that are emotionally related. So these are not beginning and end points. This is the number one emotional point on that meridian. So with neuroemotionals, what's going to happen is, first of all, this will probably only come up on your priority list with your priority mode if you have it on your list, or it'll come up on the finger modes when you go through and do that, okay? It'll only come up on a menu because you're not going to say, gosh, I think we ought to do neuroemotionals unless you have a hit to do it and then do it. I mean, that's fine. But I'm trying to move away from thinking and guessing and diagnosing and all of that. But neuroemotionals, when it comes up as a thing to do, you don't know what the emotion is. You don't know what the meridian involved is. What you need to do is you need to find the meridian first. Okay? So what I need is I need a volunteer who wants to just work on a gram.
Okay?
Alright? Good. Alright. So we have neuroemotional, so we can use this to clear something here. Alright. So I'm just checking to make sure we're not just picking on
I can find you something to clear.
Yeah, okay. So first thing I have to do is find out which meridian. So I'm going to make my life real simple, and I'm going to test by the elements. You have a wheel somewhere, a five-element wheel that just has some of the... Okay.
It's in our Touch for Health stuff.
Yeah, in the Touch for Health stuff, probably. But whatever way you want to do it. So I just go through. Fire, earth, Metal. All right. There's two meridians in metal, so we have lung, large intestine. So it's large intestine meridian. Okay. So guess that what happens is neuroemotionals came up, so we don't know what it is right now, but we now know it's the large intestine meridian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then it says circuit locate the neuroemotional reflex for that meridian.
The first step said muscle test for element meridian and emotion.
Oh, you know what? Thank you.
You get a star.
I get the rest
there
of the balance.
You
get lots of stars. All right.
Good job.
All right, where is my, it's on my, I'm a few things now. Oh, this one here. So, yeah, you could do fire, earth, metal, water, wood. Okay, so we've got this here, and it was large intestine. So we have self-worth, guilt, merciful understanding, release, obsession, letting go, holding on, mildness, persecution, included, withdrawal, enlightened, disillusioned, okay? So disillusioned, wanting to feel more enlightened. Thank you for remembering that. That's, that one just has a little color. You got that one.
I like that.
Okay. So disillusion, enlightenment, and all I did, by the way, you can buy that paper. That's just rainbow paper. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's a lot of that. So large intestine is right up here. Absolutely. Large intestine is right here on the shoulders. Right. Oh, I love these points.
Right on
They're
the knob.
So painful. Yeah.
Right on the shoulder bones, like
here.
The point.
Yeah.
Where did you find those points from?
There's a chart right there.
Oh.
Large intestine.
Sorry.
It'll be LI-16, okay? So, we've identified the meridian. We've identified the emotion as disillusioned. Wanting to feel more or something.
Enlightened.
That's always good. And now we rub these points for 30 to 40 seconds. So we let him just be with that. We don't have to actually do anything else. He's already doing whatever he needs to do. But remember, this point is the point on the large intestine meridian that locks up emotions.
Mm. Well, these are the emotion points.
These are the neuroemotional points.
Right.
So we find out which meridian and find the emotion on that meridian, then we know here's the point that'll let it all go. Okay? And then I should just go back and check it. But then, okay, I'll do that. So then I check this point. Oh, I was supposed to check this first, but I check it now, and it's clear.
So you would have...
I would have checked it when I found, instead of just going and rubbing, I would have checked it, and it would have been weak.
When you touch it.
When I touched it.
With a light touch, like an alarm?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, all right, so, yeah, you could test it and then rub. So it'll be weak, then you rub, then it'll be strong. Sorry, guys, I keep skipping these things.
Okay.
And then I could go through, just because I'm a careful kind of guy, fire, earth, metal, water, wood, no other elements that go out, which means we got that, and I actually could have cleared his emotion, which was
dissolution.
I love it. Dissolution, one is more enlightened, and that's clear too. See, it erases really quick from my mind. Thank you.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Since these people don't have a lot of features on them, can we go over really quickly where exactly these points are?
Yeah, hang on.
I would have been able to tell
that
was precisely where to rub.
Yeah, let me do this. Say there's a note here. Calcium may have a beneficial effect on clearing these reflexes.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you wanted to, and again, I'm not directing you guys a lot toward nutritional stuff, but what you could do is I went to his large intestine point, you know, the neuroemotional point now. Before I rubbed, if I tested it was weak, I could have him just hold some calcium. Test again. If that made it stronger, then that would be beneficial to do. I'd still rub the points and complete that. But there's a way, because calcium really helps with these neuroemotionals in general. There's a way, we think of calcium as relaxing and all of that, but what it does is it also helps to balance the neuroemotionals, which means the emotions get stuck in the meridians less often or less tenaciously. And so that's a way to find out if it would be beneficial from an emotional point of view to be taking calcium, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you could just have some broccoli to hand to them or something?
I'd probably do a calcium supplement because, yeah. And, but yeah, you could, and then you could just load up on calcium. But I, you know, I'm not big on the supplements in terms of actually getting involved in testing those, because that's a whole other realm which we talked about.
I missed that class, but if he was going to test the calcium, I'd have to hold him, hold it.
Yep, there, and the hand here, and it should test weak.
So Graham would hold it in the hollow below his occiput.
Yeah.
And then Graham would also put his...
No, I do that while I test.
Family has two. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because this test here, with nothing there, will always test weak. You're testing corpus callosum.
Yes.
And that'll always test weak. And so what you want to make sure is that this held here does not interfere with the normal response, which is...
Okay, hold on. So, you explained this from one time before, a week ago, and it's still confusing. Okay, so the corpus callosum will always make a test weak.
Always. And that's because, by the way, I'm going to make this up, but if you're testing right down between the brain hemispheres, there's some confusion there. You know, what are we accessing? What are we doing? And always, and weak isn't bad. It just means it'll always just test weak.
Yeah.
Okay? That's
like
the
pinching, you expect it to test.
Yeah, that's the normal response.
Yep.
So when you hold calcium here at the base of the brain, what you're really asking is, does this calcium interfere with the normal brain response here? If it does, meaning if it tests strong, that's actually an interference. That's not the normal expected response. That means don't do the calcium.
So should we test it twice?
No.
No.
Oh, you test this, which is going to test weak, and then you have him hold the supplement. It should still test weak.
You have to really keep your logic straight on this one.
Yeah.
But then how do we know if he needs the supplement?
Yeah.
Okay, because this routine right here, because we're testing the brain and the brain circuits here, okay, this routine, if it tests weak, if it tests the normal response, means the body can use it, can tolerate it, and it is beneficial. It means both of those things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Got
so
it.
So that's just implied because we're testing the brain. It means that you can tolerate it and it's beneficial.
Okay.
See, if it actually interfered with the normal response, if it tested strong, maybe you could tolerate it, but it wasn't beneficial. Like maybe it's not necessary. It's redundant.
Yeah.
You know? Or maybe it's really necessary, but you can't tolerate it, at least in that form. In which case you'd go for broccoli or you go, you know.
And then you would do the whole thing, 100 milligrams, 200 milligrams, or whatever.
Yeah.
But I missed that. So
yeah.
I'm sure you went over all that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we can do that. We'll catch up with that at some point.
I'll ask you
more about
that after I actually listen to it online.
Okay. So, Graham, you were going to ask, where are these points? So let's do them, okay? Bladder 10, I'm going to start at the top of the head of the guy in the middle, okay? Bladder 10 are these points right at the base of the skull, okay? They're right there next to the spine. It's what it's the top cervical vertebra that you can reach right there.
Bladder 10.
I'm looking at the picture.
Yeah,
this guy right here.
Notes next to these things, so.
Okay.
It's very small.
Yeah. And sideways.
And by the way, remember, intention is more powerful than accuracy, which means that if you're close, it's going to work and you can rub more generously, okay? So now come down to triple warmer. Triple warmer is just right over, it's like this trapezius muscle right here was just right over the back right there, okay?
So it's right in the muscle.
Right in the muscle there, okay? Small, that's really small intestine, huh? I didn't think it went there. I guess, it does go down, I guess, okay. But the small intestine 11 is right at the, there's a tender hollow spot on the shoulder blade right there. It's just not at the very tip, but just up a little. You got a little indentation in there. There's a place that your fingers just automatically want to go to. It'll be right there.
This
is on the lateral border of the scapula?
Here, give me your shoulder blade. Anyway, it's right here.
the shoulder blade's a little different anymore.
I mean, is it on the shoulder blade or is it
lateral? It's on. You know, it's on the shoulder. It's on the scapula.
Lateral.
Okay.
It's lateral.
My shoulder
border.
Blade shows here. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's actually right there. So it's on the shoulder blade. Okay. And so if you actually feel the shoulder blade there, just find the tip of it, come up until you get like a little hollow spot or a tender spot in there, and you'll know what it
It'll
is.
It'll be tender.
It'll be tender, yeah.
It's what's showing up.
Yeah. And the person will go, oh, there it is. Okay,
more
good.
More lateral.
Okay.
On the shoulder blade. We're like on the board. We're on the scapula, but we're like on the border of it.
No, you're actually in from the border. It shows right on the edge of it there, but it's actually in a tiny bit.
Right here.
It's sort of hollow.
Yeah, it's in the little hollow. Yeah, there's a little indentation in there. It's where you want to be. Okay, so now switch over to the person facing us. Large intestine 16. And again, you'll find the spot, and it's someplace right on the front of the shoulder there. And there's gonna be a tender spot there. That's all I can tell you. Okay, but it's really a little more. It's actually on the shoulder. It's not inside the joint there. It's actually on the front of the shoulder. Okay. And circulation number 3 is right about where the elbow bends, and it's right in the middle in there. So. You know what? You need a good acupressure acupuncture chart. It's actually below the elbow, right in here. I'm 99.9% certain. So it's not up in the bicep. It's actually below the elbow, right between the radius and the ulna in there. Okay, just
again, there's a hollow there.
Yeah, there's a little hollow spot in there. You want to get that one. Okay, heart 8. Is the base of the little finger, and heart, what's that here? So it's actually probably almost lateral, but it's right at the base of the little finger, and if you had to, you'd be right on the outside, right there.
On the outside.
Yeah, it's more toward the outside, because the heart meridian ends up on the outside of the little finger here, so it's going to be coming down there. So if you ever have a question, you kind of look at the meridian charts that you have, or you can get a nice one page that actually shows all the points on it. Lung 10, 10 is the fatty part of the thumb right in there, and it's actually, by the way, that's not nice. It's right at the thumb joint, okay? So it's not right in the middle of that fatty pad. You know when we did this holding your babies kind of thing? That's actually lung 9 is right there, 9.3 is right there, but 10 is like there, but it's about the base. It's right about where the joint is on the thumb, okay?
So you rub like on the bone,
yeah,
on the first joint?
You know, right below that joint. So you come down
right below.
Right below that joint.
And sort of on the front.
Yep, and on the pad there. Yep.
This is lung.
Yeah, that's lung. Gallbladder 31 is really easy. Put your hands to your side wherever your fingertips hit. That's that reflex point. If you have any toxicity in your body, it will show up as a tender spot. But standing up, it usually is someplace within an inch of where your fingertips, your middle finger hits.
Same as one of the neural lymphatics.
Yeah, it's right along that large intestine neural lymphatic. For me, actually, it's about the tip of my this finger length down, not quite the tip of my middle finger length down, but it's, you'll find it in there, okay? Stomach 30. That's right on the side of the pubic bone, and the stomach meridian comes up. It's actually not on the pubic bone, but it's in the joint area there, but it's just at a level of the pubic bone.
In the crease?
In the crease, yeah.
So you go sort of like, so find the top of the pubic bone, go right next to the bone.
Or another way to do it is find the hip, come down a couple inches, and go in and get it.
Okay.
What you're looking for, Graham, is from the front, you can kind of feel where your hip joints are. So it's, okay, so it's going to be right in here, in that hip joint. And you're going to be close enough, because when you're rubbing these points, you're gonna rub a nice area here, and there'll be a spot that you'll know. Actually, you feel it too. They know, but you'll actually kind of feel it too. It'll feel right at home for you. The same when we do tapping points for pain tapping, it's someplace right in here. Oh, this feels right. Okay, good. You know, I mean, it's close. And then liver 4. Liver 4 is right on the ankle, but it is like right, you feel a big, when you lift up your foot, there's a big tendon that comes up right in the front here. It's just to the inside of that tendon, between the bone itself and that tendon. There's a hollow spot there.
What is that on the liver?
That's liver, yeah.
Wait a second. So, here?
The bone is here, and the tendon is going to be right there. So, it's right there.
It's the medial side of the tendon.
Yeah.
Below the bony.
Below, yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
This is a good thing. I mean, this is good just to rub all these points.
Oh, yeah.
On a
oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is. And by the way, if you do that, if you rub all those points on a regular basis, when you do it, remember or say to yourself the primary emotions that you remember for each of the meridians.
Right.
Because that's what you're doing.
Right.
Okay. And then kidney, real simple. Kidney is. Oh, where is kidney? Gosh darn. It's really more heel. Like, you see, it's between the bone and the heel in the hollow on the inside there. So it's not on your Achilles tendon.
Between that and the ankle.
But it's, yeah, it's the ankle bone there and the heel in there. You've got a little hollow spot in here. Yeah, so it's, yeah, you got it. It's going to be right down in
yep.
Here. Yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
Nice.
I know how to find them.
And
is it tingle?
Huh? Tingle?
Tingle.
Now, spleen 10. Spleen 10, you've got your knee right here, so it's just above the knee on the inside, and you'll feel it.
Oh, there's another little tendon there that you can.
Yeah, you can use it as a reference, but you'll find a little hollow spot, but it's really definitely on the inside there. And it's just at a level of the top of the knee. So you're not like right on the knee bone there. You just come up from that a little bit. More to the inside. Oh, yeah, you got it. Yeah, you probably got it there. Yeah.
Have it right here?
Yeah. That looks like it. Yeah, probably right there.
Okay.
Yep. So not on that yet, right? I don't see where's the inside. Yeah. Yeah, so right in there someplace.
Okay.
We're probably getting the same one, different angle. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. So, neuroemotional. Is that good?
Okay.
All righty. So, that's all good. So, those are three really good emotional techniques that are really fairly simple, even though we spent an hour and a half doing them. They're really pretty simple once you understand how they work and again, feel free to be somewhat creative in terms of how you apply them and stuff, and just make sure they're on your list because they're really helpful. All right. Anything else on those three from anybody here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The goal today, that was just the warm-up. The next piece, We're going to take a little break here, and then the next piece is habits, addictions, obsession, compulsions, phobias. And frankly, by the way, they are all handled in the same way. There's a combination of points and statements, and there are just a few different statements for each one. So we're going to go through the habits and addictions one, okay? Because you'll probably use that. I don't know what you'll use more. But it'll give you the format, and then we'll take a quick look and make sure that you make the translation to the other ones, okay? Because they're pretty much the same. So what I want to do is take about 5 minutes, make it 10, but make it real 10. So pretend like it's 5, and I'll see you guys in 10 minutes. Make it 5. I'm learning.
Don't tell us about the 10.
Yeah. And I think that Jerry's working next door, and I know Betty Lou's in her office, so in the halls we'll just be kind of quiet. But get some fresh air, get some water, or just move a little bit, and then we'll come back and go for these. And then, by the way, the biggie after that is we're going to be doing organ responses today. Okay? So we're gonna get it all in.
Going to play the organ?
Yeah, right. Going to play the organ.
But not for addition.
I'm going to do that.